You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish.
Hour two begins, and let's start with the Texans. So Will Anderson has not practiced since Hall of Fame game week. That's now over a month. Will we see him on the field this week? He's questionable for the game with the ankle injury. Now we start to think about the Texans and their pass rush against the Colts. You don't have DeNico Autry suspended. If Will Anderson is no longer available, who are we looking at? Danielle Hunter as your one of your primary pass rushers and Derek Barnett. Derek Barnett was a nice pickup last year, but all of a sudden, you go from what you think is this could be a dominant rotation to a really good player, maybe even great player in Danielle Hunter to Derek Barnett's okay. So the reason the Eagles said enough is enough. He's fine. I'm a little less confident if Will Anderson can't play. He's questionable. I guess the expectation is it'll be something that's worked out during the week. D'Amico, I guess I'm going to keep doing that throughout the year. D'Amico and D'Amico. D'Amico Ryans said that Will's doing good. He is fine with where Will is. But that doesn't mean he's going to play, because D'Amico was fine with Joe Mixon, and Joe Mixon missed multiple weeks of practice. Now, Will Anderson's already hit that benchmark. He's missed multiple weeks of practice. And how much can he give you if he is just getting back into the fold this week? That's my big concern going into the game, the health and the depth of your defensive end rotation to start. And, of course, can the interior of that offensive line handle the interior of the defensive line for the Colts? You know, Jalen Petrie was asked about it. We don't have to play the sound, but the Texans and Colts are, at least some people are trying to build it up into a rivalry. We know Kay Adams wants it to be the biggest rivalry in the NFL. John and I think that's a lie. She was just in front of a Colt. She said it. Hey, you know how Connor Wegman adapts to his environment? We think Kay Adams adapted to her environment. She was in, I think it might have been, was it DeForest Buckner? I don't remember who it was. DeForest Buckner, Sean saying. And, hey, I want this to be the biggest rivalry in the NFL. Okay, sure. You care that much about Colts Texans, whatever. But Jalen Petrie said, nah, it's just another game for us. And I would agree. Last year meant quite a bit, the final game of the year. And if you're the Colts and a Colts player, I would look at this game as a big one. They came into your home last year, the playoffs were on the line, and they took it from you. Now, you had your backup quarterback in, whatever. But that guy was your quarterback for almost the entirety of the year. You thought you should have won that game. In fact, you had a real chance too late. So I get why it's a big deal for them, but if we are operating the thought that the Texans are going to be this real contender, the Colts are like, at best just an above average football team. It's not exactly the benchmark for the Texans. You win it, it's a division game, it's important. Hell, we know the cliche, all the games are important. But I would agree, other than simply because you play them twice, I wouldn't put this game bigger than others. If you are who you think you're supposed to be, you just go out there and beat the Colts' ass. If I'm to believe that everything that's said about you is true, you go out there and beat them. Now, Peter Schrager doesn't even think the Texans make the playoffs this year. The NFL Network is doing all of their, is getting all of their analysts to do their predictions, and he has the Jags making the playoffs. And I think the Jags are the biggest competitor to the Texans. I know the Colts were the team that the do-or-die game came down to, but the Jags had a game, and they could have been the division winner if they hadn't lost to the Titans. So they go from possibly winning the division by beating a bad Titans team to not making the playoffs overall. So I don't know if they're – I don't think the Jags are winning the division, but I do think if anyone's going to stop the Texans from doing it, it's the Jags. I don't think the Colts are there yet. I don't trust Anthony Richardson. Quarterbacks with accuracy problems are always – get me a little shaky. They always get me a little shaky. Now, Josh Allen is one of those guys. He bucked the trend of the adage that if you have accuracy problems in college, they're not going to get better in the NFL. He has found a way to do that. He didn't do it in year two. And for Anthony Richardson, this is pretty much year one. He didn't play a lot last year. And I don't think he's going to run all over the Texans like he did in his first game last year. Partly because he can't stay healthy. So at some point, the Colts are going to have to put his welfare ahead of short-term success. And if they got to take their lumps because they're keeping him in the pocket, I'm sure there'll be some design runs. But they probably have had a good talk with him about how he's going to play this year. Maybe not, because Josh Allen is still this galloping giraffe, and he's a veteran. So maybe Anthony Richardson will be the same guy, but Josh Allen doesn't suffer the same type of injuries, doesn't miss giant portions of the year due to injury because of how he plays. We saw Anthony Richardson as a rookie couldn't even get through half of a season or a quarter of the season before he had to take a season off. I like the Texans here. Obviously, we'll talk more about it as we get more information about who's playing and who's not. But Will Anderson, I like to see him out there at some point. You'd like to be at as near as full strength as possible. And he's one of your guys. He's one of your cornerstones. And he's not practiced at all since the last week of July. We would like that to change. It's only a Q next to his name. It's not a D for doubtful or O for out. But I like to see a P. Let's go probable. Can we get the probable by Friday? That would make, I think, a lot of us feel good. So we'll see if Will Anderson is available on Sunday against the Colts. Now, this won't affect you guys because the NFL isn't on ESPN. But I know if you have DirecTV and you're affected, well, there's something you can do to fight back. If you like DirecTV, you don't want to switch, but you want your ESPN and all of your ABC channels, realize this. DirecTV and DirecTV Stream customers have lost ESPN, including college football, Monday Night Football, ESPN, Sunday Night Baseball, SportsCenter, and more. So if those are games or programs you like and you want them back, take action now and call 844-KEEP-MY-ESPN or visit keepmyespn.com. You have a way to make your voice heard. You can tweet at DirecTV, but here is a more direct approach. Call 844-KEEP-MY-ESPN or visit keepmyespn.com. You can do that right now.
Before we go to break.
Okay.
And before you do that.
Yes, of course. Listen to Sean.
Well, it doesn't really matter the order that you do these things. Just make sure that you do both of them. You can go to Prize Picks. Sign up. If you did have Prize Picks, maybe you could have put it together a lineup involving a lot of mores on Boston College rushing projections. Maybe a more on DJU to throw more than half an interception. I didn't build that lineup, but you could have. We both could have if you go to Prize Picks. Today is a new day. Maybe you can put some of that sports knowledge to the test. Win up to 100 times your money. They have everything: baseball, football, soccer, tennis, esports, anything that you think can make you a little bit of money. Prize Picks is the number one in America for daily fantasy sports. And with over 500, or not 500 million, that'd be so many, 5 million active users. And guess what? It can be 5 million and one with you. If you download the Prize Picks app today and use code MAPES, that's M-A-P-E-S, and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly. It's a guarantee. You don't have to win to get that $50 bonus. Prize Picks, run your game.
The D-
Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
I am live in the Veritex Community Studios, and if you want to see them, our listener party is coming up here shortly. It's that time of the year again where we want to thank our loyal listeners at the 2024 Listener Appreciation Party. Join the broadcast, editorial, and management team of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 for an evening of food, drinks, and fun at the home of Gal Media. While you're here, make sure to weave your way in and out of the production side of the building for a behind-the-scenes look at where and how your favorite shows and videos are made. A limited amount of guaranteed admission tickets are available for purchase and includes food and drinks. Must be 21 to attend, 21 plus to attend. Head to ESPN975.com under the promotions tab to secure your tickets now. So just go to the website, ESPN975.com, and go get your tickets today. So if you want to see what the cameras look like in here, how we do the Twitch stuff and the YouTube stuff, and hell, how we do some of our independent videos away from this actual studio, you can see that.
Yes, the producer studio, way smaller than it looks on camera.
I know, the camera makes it look like it's a spacious environment. It's not really.
There's like
eight chairs in there.
Yes.
It does limit the space.
There's eight, or actually there's one. There's four chairs in here.
Yeah.
I don't think you could fit four people in here.
I've seen it. Because without
people walking all over each other. Like four people can't move freely in here.
There's no chance. Not a chance.
Two people kind of have to get out of each other's way.
Yeah.
We do it every morning.
When we're training someone, I did quite a bit of that for Abigail's week here. You get in people's way. It's not a lot of room, but you guys can check it out.
Yes.
Just go to ESPN975.com and go under the promotions tab for that. Okay. Let's go to people who make a lot more money than us. It's what we do every day. We always talk about guys who make a lot more money than us.
Until recently, it was close, but with these guys getting the new deals.
Trent Williams finally is in a higher tax bracket than I am after getting his new money.
I was catching up.
Yeah, we're getting close. All those live reads are helping out, right?
Keep playing prize picks.
Guys. Help Sean Mapes catch up to Trent Williams. But Trent Williams is going to report. It works. Just tell your team who's trying to win a Super Bowl that you're not going to show up until they pay you. And let them know you're serious about it. Brandon Ayuk did it. Trent Williams did it. So those two 49ers are going to be in camp. Jamar Chase, he ain't got his money yet, so he is still out. And while I was out, I know Zach Taylor was like, Jamar's going to be in. Jamar practiced today. He'll be back. He'll continue to practice. Jamar Chase was like, I'm not going to be here. And he wasn't. He pulled the Magic Johnson. Not going to be here. So Jamar Chase was actually at practice, but was in his own clothes. He wasn't in Bengals issued gear, at least not the ones that will allow him to practice. So the Bengals are still waiting, and the status of their number one wide receiver is up in the air. I think I misspoke earlier in the offseason because I said that all these guys always come in and no one ever holds out because no one ever wants to give up those game checks. Chris Jones did it. Now, it only took a week for the Chiefs to go, actually, we don't like that you're not playing, so you're going to play. But Chris Jones made it into the regular season last year, went to the game, sat in the box, and then got a deal done. So is that the Jamar Chase move? Is he going to be sitting watching his teammates play in a box while they're down there? And, of course, we'll get all – and he'll be very visible if he showed up. He'll make sure the cameras will find him. Hey, look, that's Jamar Chase, Bengals holdout wide receiver. And meanwhile – Joe Burrow's running for his life, and if it's not going well, will that be impetus enough for the Bengals to want to pay him? Because I didn't expect it to go this far. I just assumed the Bengals would come up off that cash, or Jamar Chase would relent. One of the two would happen, and he would be available. He is holding firm. Now, the Bengals have said they're not looking to pay him until, at earliest, this upcoming offseason, after the 2024 season. I'll ask you this, Sean. The Texans don't have these problems. I mean, they'll come later at some point. But not yet. They don't have the problems of their young stars, because they paid one already, threatening to hold out or actually holding out and missing games. Okay. Does Jamar Chase suit up week one? Is he on the field on Sunday?
I have a hard time
without the Bengals giving him his money.
I have a hard time saying it.
So do I.
just with how little he's practiced.
I don't see it happening.
And the fact that it doesn't seem to be getting closer.
No, we don't hear news about, well, they're working on things.
Yeah, and now the Bengals, they're a weird franchise, so you never know. Their owner could wake up one day and just, like, pay him all of his money. And so
I'm sick of dealing with this, pay him.
Yeah. I will say the situation where it's a struggle for the Bengals and, you know, CBS doing their game? They're going to be talking. I can't imagine it'll be Nance and Romo, but they're talking. They're like, you know, this Bengals offense really hasn't clicked in this first half.
They're playing the Patriots.
You look at the box and it's Jamar. Yes, they're playing the Patriots. I don't think they'll have that issue.
The Patriots defense, now they did trade Matthew Judon. The Patriots defense should at least be semi-competent. Now,
I'll give you semi-competent. They lost the greatest defensive head coach of all time.
Yes.
They're going to be worse.
They may be an abject disaster. Who knows? But they're supposed to be at least semi-confident. They did trade Judon. He's not there anymore, so they do lose an impact player.
Didn't their D-tackle have, like, blood clots or something?
Was it Godshaw?
Yeah. I think he got he has, like, a pretty serious medical condition.
I will look that up to make sure.
But I think they lost two guys off their defense last year. That was pretty good. Actually, so good. It was kind of crazy that they had a top three pick. And then you mix that in with losing not only Bill Belichick Dell, but Steve Belichick, too, off that defense.
Of course.
I think there's a good chance the Patriots defense might still be the best part of their team, but going to be a little bit worse.
Now, Joe Burrow has not played a lot of football in the last year or so.
That is true.
And if he did, he wasn't healthy while I was doing it. If he only has T. Higgins to throw the football to, do we think we're going to – actually, we'll just ask this about Joe Burrow. Are we getting 2021 and 22 Joe Burrow?
Yes.
Do you think we're getting that guy back?
I don't know if we're getting that guy back without Chase. That's part of it, is that offense was just so loaded all over the place. And the chemistry that they had, I mean, they're just not going to have that. They also, I know this is now like their third receiver, but they did lose Tyler Boyd.
They did
lose Tyler Boyd. So it was really going to be T. Higgins and the Pips for game one.
Sure.
I mean, name the other receiver that's going to be out there for him. I think that's going to be an issue as far as getting to the heights that they were those 2 years in 21 and 22. I'm not quite sure if it'll matter as 8.5-point favorites at home against the New England Patriots.
Yeah, the DT is Christian Barmore.
He's
a really good football player, but yeah, you mentioned blood clots. That is going to hurt the Patriots' cause on defense. And the Pips you're referring to right now are an Andre Isovisa. We never heard of him.
Sorry.
He's a young player.
Sorry for disrespecting you.
Trenton Irwin.
Oh, he's a grinder.
Yes. Jermaine Burton, the former Georgia-Alabama wide receiver.
Okay.
And Charlie Jones out of Purdue.
Okay.
So
I've heard of the last two because of
college football.
College football. And I know Irwin is...
He's been around quite a while now.
Is a gym rat.
And Andre Iosovivas is from Princeton. He played at Princeton last year. He's a rookie too.
Okay, so
actually, take it back. He has been around a little bit, but you know, he's not getting a lot of time when it's Boyd, Higgins, and Chase.
So it's gonna be all on Higgins, really. And for Higgins, it's great for him. Yeah, and it's a situation where I doubt that he's the one that gets paid out of the Bengals wide receivers. I have a hard time seeing that they pay both Higgins and Chase.
Yeah.
I imagine you would pay Chase over Higgins.
It's the Bengals. I mean, we have seen it happen that teams who have good wide receivers are paying both. The Eagles have done it. The Dolphins have done it. The 49ers have done it.
I don't think the Bengals are.
But the Bengals, as you mentioned, operate differently.
I don't think they're going to, because Higgins is probably going to want Ayuk money.
Yeah. I mean, and Chase wants one more dollar than Jefferson.
And he might get Ayuk money, but I don't think he's going to get it from the Bengals with Chase also getting Jefferson
money.
So I think for Higgins, it's a good opportunity for him to, you know, kind of show what he can do in that lead role, which is probably what he's going to be signed to do this offseason. or traded.
I don't know how long it's going to last, how long Chase will be out, but T. Higgins getting a chance to prove that he's a number one by himself helps his cause, particularly if he can do it now, if he struggles and the Bengals offense struggles because all the focus is on him, which he hasn't had to deal with very much. Then we can start talking about whether T. Higgins is actually worth whatever he's going to be asking for. But, yeah, it's an opportunity for him. And it's an opportunity for some of their young receivers, most of the guys we haven't heard of or can't pronounce their last names, to show out. So I think I agree. I don't think Ja'Marr Chase plays unless he gets his money. I don't think at the current – I don't know, as it's currently situated, I don't think he's showing up, which is not how it usually goes. The player or the team usually relents. The standoff doesn't usually happen. We haven't seen it this offseason. Guys either relent or get their money. So we'll see what Ja'Marr Chase does. Big part of that Bengals offense. Expected to be a bounce back year for the Bengals. I've seen enough people say the Bengals are winning that division. I tend to disagree, but it's on the table. Doesn't hurt the Ravens or maybe the Browns if Ja'Marr Chase is going to miss time. They would welcome it. Hey, sit out as long as you want. We don't mind. But if you still do like the Bengals, you know where you can place a bet on them? MyBookie. You go to mybookie.ag, and if you like the bet on the Bengals to win the division or maybe even win the Super Bowl, maybe you like Joe Burrow as an MVP. You can do that right now at MyBookie. They let you do all of that. We got baseball tonight. The Astros are back in action, so you can place some money on your Stros if you think tonight is a chance they bounce back against the Reds. I mentioned baseball. I mentioned football. Obviously, college football this weekend. You've got you got international soccer throughout the winter and the fall because MyBookie provides you tons of options on how to win some money. Use your expertise. If you know those sports, find the best line and put some money down. Use that promo code BET975 to extend your money. Remember, MyBookie, 100% match up to $1,000 when you deposit that. And the BET975 promo code is also for existing customers as well. So if you're new or you're returning, use it and make sure your money goes further. The U.S. Open is going on. You can bet on that too because the tagline is bet on anything, anywhere, anytime. Why would they limit you if that's what they want you to do? Just go to mybookie.ag. Remember, anything, anywhere, anytime, only with MyBookie.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really. Okay.
So the wait for Will Anderson continues. I talked about that a little bit. A guy who is coming back is Christian McCaffrey. He's another guy who hasn't practiced very much, and he doesn't do that very much in the preseason anyway. But the 49ers are going to be at full strength, it looks like. He'll be back in the fold for practice. He is one of the few 49ers who decided, actually, I like it here. I just can't be here right now because I'm hurt. The other guys, I'm fully healthy. I just don't want to be here until you pay me. So the 49ers will be at full strength. All their weapons will be there, and they'll have their offensive tackle back. So it's a big year for them. And I imagine trying to get back to the Super Bowl and eventually winning it played a part in making all those guys happy this offseason. So that is going on. We led off with the Astros early in the show, and the question remains. And I think we did answer it. I think neither one of us is all that comfortable with this version of Verlander pitching in the playoffs, at least not as a starter. Now, we can all still understand that baseball does things a certain way, and the likelihood of Joe Espada telling Verlander you're not part of the playoff rotation is very, very low. He would actually really have to just blow up in his last couple starts before the playoffs begin. But he's not pitching like a guy who is making me feel confident that I want him. Hell, I definitely don't think he should be the first pitcher. He shouldn't be a game one guy. Game two guy, I question. And then now we get into the realm of where he would actually slide in, because it's either Kikuchi or Arrighetti in game three. And that's where I'm thinking you could make an argument that the veteran, he understands the moment, all the intangible stuff that would lead you to put him, and by him I mean Verlander, as the Game 3 starter, you could convince yourself that that makes sense. Because what we've seen on the mound, he is not pitching to the level that Kikuchi and Arrigetti are. Now, sure, you'd love for sports to be a meritocracy. Hey, if you earned it, you get it. But that's not how it works. Is Verlander going to go to the bullpen in what is likely his final year at the Astros for what we all hope is another deep run? I don't see it. If they're going to pull the back of the baseball card stuff with Jose Abreu, there's no chance they don't pull it with Verlander. Could you imagine? We spent 2+ months listening to them talk about what Abreu was, and then they eventually came to the conclusion he is not that anymore. You think they're going to make the drastic move to go, you know what, actually, we've learned our lesson from the Abreu thing. We're not going to do that here. The guy who's pitched better down the stretch is whether it be Arrigetti or Kikuchi. We're going to go with him. I don't see it. I think the back of the baseball card thing will happen one more time, even if Verlander doesn't become the guy we hope he can become down the stretch. And I guess we'll just have to live with it. And I think probably enough people will be fine with it because we don't know the unknown of Kikuchi and Arrigetti. I would just like some confirmation that we're getting a reasonable facsimile of what Verlander has been, not the guy we've seen. You got to admit, right now he's pitching like a back end of the rotation guy. And it could just simply be him working himself back into what he needs to be when the playoffs roll around, or maybe we admit age is finally something that he's dealing with. That conversation, Sean, how do you think that conversation goes? If, let's say he isn't a disaster down the stretch where it makes it pretty obvious you have to make a decision, and that decision would be keeping him out of the playoff rotation. Let's say he's fine. Let's say he's this guy, the guy who'll give you 5. Sometimes it'll be 3. Sometimes it'll be 2. But that's the extent of what he can be. Is there any chance a spot is like, hey, JV, I talked to you. Hey, man, you see what Kikuchi and Arrigetti are doing?
I
mean, you're a valuable part of this team. We want to keep you, obviously, on the playoff roster. And we want you around to get a couple outs when it matters. But these two guys have been better. So we're going to go with whatever. Pick and choose whoever you want to pick. Is there any chance a conversation with more tact, certainly, than I'm having right now, any way a conversation like that will take place, no matter what? As long as he doesn't blow up down the stretch, is there any chance a conversation like that happens?
Is blowing up doing what he's done the last two starts?
See, I would say in their eyes, probably not, considering who the pitcher is. I think blow up for them is he's pulling early Hunter Brown stuff, or he's not getting out of the fourth inning.
I don't know.
Being a disaster.
If he does 4 2/3, 5 earned runs, or 5 innings, 4 earned runs, like he's done the last two starts, for the next, it would probably be like, what, 3 or 4 starts?
If he's consistently not providing quality starts, let's lay the line there. If he's consistently, that's probably not the right line, because if he's going 5 and giving up 2, he's probably still going to be at least in the rotation. So I guess we'd have to find our line. But is there anything he could do besides being Henley, early Hunter Brown-like, to pitch himself out of the rotation?
I think if he keeps doing this like he's done in the last two starts, he was good against Boston on the 21st of August. And then you have to go all the way, obviously, you have to go back to June 3rd. 5 innings, 4 earned runs. June 9th, 5 innings, 4 earned runs. I mean, this is kind of who he's been for a while. You have to go back to May for some good starts. And he was good in May. He was really good in May. But he's been a 7 ERA, 5 ERA, 9 ERA the last 3 months. And obviously, there was injuries that play a part of that. But that is also part of it. He might be worse because he's gotten hurt. That could be the answer here, is that at 41 he can't have an IL stint that takes him out for almost 2 months and then pop right back in as vintage Verlander. So I think that needs to play a part is how he feels and is he physically up to it? How physically up to it is he? Is obviously he can still play, but does he feel like he's getting the most out of himself? And will he feel like he's getting the most out of himself come October? If you want to treat the next couple starts that Verlander makes as what's it called?
An audition?
As like spring training where he is working himself into the season. All right, but you better have at least a couple good starts at sometime this month before Eric Eddy or Kikuchi take your spot. Because if they still
– Listen to what you just said. Listen to what you said. That's why I'm almost
– No, but that's
I can't believe that they'll do it.
That's part of it, though. If Kikuchi and Eric Eddy keep pitching the way they've been pitching, if they keep putting together good starts and Justin Verlander keeps putting up 5 innings, 4 earned runs, I think come late September, this conversation will have a little bit different. When we've seen what Verlander's done and what Verlander would have to do the next 30 days to keep that up. It'll be a lot more losses like we saw yesterday that happened. And if the next day, every single time, Eric Eddy's dealing, I think the decision gets closer and closer unless Verlander gets better.
I really don't disagree with your logic. I just feel like baseball people operate differently, where what you've done in the past means so much, particularly with this guy. Particularly this guy, Hall of Famer, was the catalyst. That trade turned you into a floundering division leader, into a World Series threat and eventual winner. What he has meant, who he is, the thought of someone having that conversation, actually, Kikuchi and I are getting, sorry, buddy. I can't even imagine it happening. But it wouldn't be, at this point, it wouldn't be because of what he's doing. It wouldn't be merit-based, which is a problem. I hope if it comes to that, there's someone there who has a strong enough will to go, you know what? It's pretty obvious you're not better than these two guys.
Yeah, and hey, if they don't get the 2 seed, they're probably going to need all 5 starters.
True.
At some point. To get through the top three, to get through the 3-game wild card round, and then you're going to need 2 more because, I guess it depends how many off days you have. If maybe you win in 2 and then have an extra day. But you're gonna need more starters if you don't chase down either the Central or the East winner.
But the thing, he wouldn't even be a top 4 guy. That is
wild.
Nuts.
But part of that is the way the other guys have pitched.
Yeah, the credit should go to how Kikuchi and Arrigetti
have
pitched.
If Arrigetti was still putting together early Arrigetti starts, where you're like, ugh, someone has to take these innings.
Go out there, you gas can.
Yeah, we're not having this conversation.
No, we're not. We're
but
not at all.
It's how well he's pitched. How they fixed Kikuchi.
We'll be asking, can Verlander please be better? Because we don't have an
we
answer.
Need him.
Now we have at least at this point 2 answers. Jay, you want to talk about Verlander? What's up, Jay?
Hey guys, how y'all doing? Just keep throwing out Verlander. You know, back of the card will help your decision on whether to start him or not, but. In reality, hey, if we get to the World Series, I remember back in 2017, Verlander made a relief appearance, and he even was willing to make a relief appearance in Game 7 in the World Series against the Dodgers. So if it comes to that point in the World Series, and like, look, Verlander, you're not starting. You need to come in the 4th or 5th inning. Hopefully he can be like, yeah, if it's to win the World Series, fine. Move me to the bullpen. And I think he'll agree to that. And another thing, college football is dead in the state of Florida. Florida State is an utter joke. You lose to Bill O'Brien, that's sad. Thank you, guys.
Hey, wait a minute. One team's okay. Maybe UCF and USF are okay, too. But, hey.
It's all about the U, baby.
I'm not saying all that, but I don't know if it's dead.
Yeah, come on.
Come on, Jay.
That's Florida and Florida State's problem.
Yeah, hey. What about the team in the South, mate? Well, to be fair, a lot of people in Florida don't consider Miami part of Florida. So maybe that's what Jay's talking about. It's a different world altogether. Yeah. So maybe that's what he means.
Yeah, UCF is good.
Yeah. And Verlander did. You're right, Jay. I imagine he would. This isn't even really a question of Verlander being a problem if he's propositioned with, hey, you want to be a bullpen guy? It's not even about his I guess you put it in the selfishness realm. I don't think that would be a problem. I just don't know if the Astros are interested in having that conversation, mostly because they may just believe, hey, it's JV in the postseason. He is something that we can depend on. We're going to go with him. But yeah, if it came down to it, they needed him to get a couple outs in a big situation out of the bullpen. I don't disagree at all. He would do it. The question is, if they're in the wild card round or in the divisional round, will the Astros have a tough conversation about where he slots in with their pitching staff? Eric, I see you. We'll get to you on the other side. I imagine you want to talk Astros. That's generally what you want to talk about and other stuff. I haven't been around for a week plus, so maybe there's a new reporter you want to have a discussion with. I don't know. Maybe someone's come on the scene since I've left. But before I do that, DirecTV. If you are a DirecTV subscriber and you want to keep DirecTV, I understand it. You're comfortable with them. They provide great service, and they're in a fight with ESPN, and you want answers. You know what you can do? You can actually have some impact on what's going on. You've lost ESPN, I believe a lot of you did on Sunday. Well, DirecTV wants to hear from you. DirecTV and DirecTV Stream customers, you've lost ESPN. You know it. You don't get to watch college football. You don't get to watch Monday Night Football, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, SportsCenter, and more. You might love their talk shows in the morning, too. Well, you can take action right now. Call 844-KEEP-MY-ESPN or visit keepmyespn.com. You have a voice in this. You don't have to be silent. They know it's a big deal if you're a customer with DirecTV and you can't watch your ESPN. Call 844-KEEP-MY-ESPN or visit keepmyespn.com.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We got one more segment here before we wrap it up. Let's get to Eric. He wants to talk. It's Eric. He can talk about really pretty much anything. I'm not sure. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Del. Great show. Yeah, do you think JV is done? And also predict that you and Notre Dame, Catholics versus the convicts, in this year's national championship game. And how do you feel about Channel 13, Alex Bogdarchin, and her workout videos? They're great. I'll hang up and listen.
How come so many reporters have workout videos? I don't believe that's true. Like, every time, they always have a workout video. Is that something they do on the side?
Yeah, trying to build a brand.
Huh. I don't know how to spell that woman's last name, so I can't look her up. I heard what he said, but he said a name I'm sure I'm going to misspell. Alex who?
I don't know. Yeah. I already forgot.
Yeah, don't know. They can't all have workout videos, though, right? According to Eric,
they have to work out.
Yeah, but are they monetizing them and putting them on video?
They don't have to monetize them. They're
just giving it to the public?
Yeah, hey. You know, follow me for the, I don't know, grisly reports about whatever news is happening.
Some awful news in the city.
Yes. And then, you know, you go down one in the grid on Instagram and it's me doing squats.
I don't think that's how they operate.
And then, oh, here's me talking about, I don't know, some little league team who's, you know, doing something a little bit different.
Yeah. Mm.
And then, yeah, here's me with
kettlebells. Is she doing try-on videos, too? What is he talking about? That can't be happening. There's no chance. No chance. What did he ask? Oh, it's JV done. Done as what? As an elite Game one stopper? I think that's very possible. In fact, it looks probable.
I think he hasn't really been that all season.
Yeah. Injury before. Well, he's been recovering or working around an injury since spring training.
Yeah.
He didn't start the season on time because he was working through something. As a number one, put him out there to start a playoff series. Yes, I think he's done there. The only reason the Astros would do it now is because of what he's done in the past. And I think the way Fromber's pitched and Hunter Brown has pitched, you're doing yourself a disservice to do that. I don't think they'll do that. Now, can he be an effective starter? He has the next month to prove it. Can he be a guy that once he's out there, you feel good about? Right now, no. But he is not that far removed from being a guy who was starting in Corpus and Sugarland to work some things out and come back. Give him the month. He'll get opportunities. We know they've made the decision. Ranel Blanco's the guy going to the bullpen. when they go back to their five men. He gets a month. If he can figure it out, cool. If he can't, then they'll have the conversation, and maybe it won't be as tough as I think it'll be. Maybe JV will even look at it and go, no, I'm not better than these two guys. I'm a competitor, but I understand what's going on. I feel like I don't know if that's going to go that way, particularly because the two guys that would supplant him have done nothing in the postseason. But that's not a problem for me. That's a problem for Dana Brown and Joe Espada. And hopefully it's an actual problem where Justin Verlander's pitching well, so it's an actual tough decision, because right now it doesn't feel like it's a tough one.
Well, I think if he pitches well, it's not a tough decision.
True. Either. It's maybe a tough conversation to tell one of the other guys, hey, you've been great, but we're going with JV.
If the status quo remains, maybe Verlander pitches a little bit better. But if the status quo remains, it's a tough conversation. I think any extreme in either direction, either Verlander becomes better, Verlander becomes worse, Eric Geddy becomes worse, Eric Geddy becomes
which
better.
Is very possible.
Same with Kikuchi. Yeah, I know. Like,
we can't.
I get that we need to have something to talk about after a game on September 3rd.
Yeah,
I get it.
But there's a possibility that the Kikuchi Eric Geddy excellency will taper off.
But also, the decision doesn't have to be made for another month.
This is what I'm saying. Like, he's got the month. He's got the month.
Again, I get it. We talk about sports. This is a sports thing that's happening. It seems a bit early to be spending too much.
Never early.
Okay.
Never early to have these discussions.
Speaking about not too early, what do you think about Notre Dame versus Miami in the title game?
Well,
do they play this year? No, they don't. So they will play in the playoff. Okay.
Yes, it's very early. We're 3 months plus away from that. It's very
maybe
early.
5 seed versus 4 seed in the second round.
And Notre Dame would have to 4 seed. How dare you? 4 seed. 4 seed.
Whoa. You beat a fired coach, and all of a sudden.
No, I don't know. I don't even want to think about it.
All of a sudden, ACC boy is too good to be the 4 seed.
ACC man. There's a trip to Louisville that could get in the way. So, no, I don't have any real thoughts on Notre Dame-Miami, the playoff. Just
at FSU?
Well, not this version. Maybe they'll. It's later in the year,
actually,
so they could be better. That'll be a home game.
Never mind. You have Georgia Tech.
Yeah,
that's
the one. At this point, that's the one to be more concerned about. That's a road game in Atlanta.
Trip to Syracuse to end the season? Oof.
I don't have any real thoughts on playoffs. It's game one against what is not a good football team.
Again, soon-to-be-fired head coach.
It was simply a game based off, you're going through the swamp. That could be difficult. And some misguided belief that Florida was going to be a good football team this year. I didn't think that. I just thought Miami and their incompetence would just lose because they're Miami and they're incompetent. Turns out, at least with Cam Ward, they're less incompetent. And Billy Napier is more incompetent. So
I think it's more the second.
So they won by 24 points. Eric. Notre Dame making the college football playoff final. Title game, not a chance. Riley Leonard's their quarterback. That ain't happening. Miami making it, not a chance. Mario Cristobal's their coach.
Okay. I just wanted to.
No, I'm not. I don't. Like I said, I don't have any.
I just want to know if you're running through the smoke in the studio.
No. It's one game. It was great. It's a great afternoon to make fun of Florida for an afternoon. Cool. And then Monday was great.
I hope Miami's awesome, just so we can see you become more and more like Michael Irvin.
No, that's you. You think I'm going to take on your persona because that's how you act when Texas is great.
No. What?
Yeah, exactly. I don't have any ibis-shaped hat I'm going to put on like you have for your Longhorns.
You should.
I'm not buying one of those. I don't care what happens. So
I might. I might or get one of those fake turnover chants.
You can. Well, I think Mario had those banned. I think he had those said no more once he took over. So, no, I don't. I'm not in on Miami, Eric. I'm just glad they won a football game. A game that
ACC looks
a game
winnable.
That matters for a Saturday afternoon. That's all, and that'll wrap it up for us. I could talk Miami football all day and talk about how I tamper my own expectations, but that's not what this show's about. I will take calls on anything, and we address Eric's calls because he likes to call in quite a bit. But we're done. The Killer Bees follow Gaunt and George. Gaunt and George are up next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I didn't mention this, but remember, you can also listen to the station on 97.9. That's the HD2 station. It can be heard across the city, clear and crisp. If you have the ability, do that. 97.9, our HD2 signal is a great one if you're driving around. So we're done. We'll be back tomorrow. And what does that mean, Sean?
We did it!
That we did. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.